Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. We're going to finish with sports today because there is so much going on. The Red Sox are at the White House right now. Well, at least some of them are. The Bruins are dropping the puck tonight in Game 1 of the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals. And the Celtics are dropping out of the NBA playoffs. Joining us now to talk about it all is WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Shira, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Also with us is WBUR and NPR sports commentator and former host of Only a Game, Bill Littlefield. Hey there, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. But let's get the bad news out of the way here first, Shira.
So not well for some teams.
Not well for the Celtics. They lost 116-91 in Game 5 of their playoff series with the Milwaukee Bucks, which ends their season. I got to say, Shira, it was kind of tough to watch. I thought there was a sequence at the end of the first half that kind of put the nail in the coffin. You know, they get this awful shot by Gordon Hayward. The Bucks come right back. They nail a three. Brad Stevens loses his mind. Technical
yep.
foul. I mean, it
yep.
was like the whole season encapsulated in one awful moment.
You have that sequence at the end of the first half. I have a sequence that I remember at the end of the third quarter. There was about a minute left, and you know, it was a Milwaukee Bucks offensive possession, and they just kept getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound. And, you know, second, third, fourth chances at making a shot, making a basket. And, you know, what you could see in that particular sequence was the Bucks were clearly a team that wanted it more. They were hustling for it. They were energized. And the Celtics didn't look like a team with the with their season on the line. And they just simply looked like, you know, they were already done.
The only thing I would object to in your characterization is I don't think you can encapsulate this season in any series of moments because the whole season has been so unpredictable. There were people at the beginning of the season who said this is a great team. And if you just look at the elements of the team and Coach Stevens' history, it looked like they would be a great team.
It was
and
his
some
best
nights,
roster, right?
Yeah. Some nights they looked like a great team, and some nights,
the
exactly.
start of the playoffs, they look. I mean, come on, you know,
they
the sweep
fantastic.
Of the Indiana Pacers,
right,
they looked fantastic.
But throughout the year, they were bouncing between looking like a powerhouse and looking like a bunch of guys who just met each other and had never played basketball together. And that was the strangest thing about the season for
me. I never really started, though, to get that powerhouse feel during the season because it was so up and down. I never thought, you know, wow, this is a team that's going to get it all together. It really often felt like there was no chemistry, that this was a bunch of individuals
well.
Out there. That Kyrie, you know, was sort of like, do I want to be here? Do I not want to be here? What, you know, do I like the young guys on the team? Do I not like the young guys on the team? Should I be finger pointing? Should I be how can I be a better leader? I mean, they never seem to gel or get comfortable with them. And I'm not saying that one sequence symbolizes the series or the team, but you know, there were signs all mm-hmm. along, sort of in the cracks in the facade were always evident, and you could see that whether it was at the end of the first half last night or you know that game in Orlando, I think it was in January, where you know Kyrie was sort of finger pointing at his younger teammates afterwards. There were always these moments where just when you thought this team was perhaps on the cusp of turning it around, they reverted and took a couple steps
yeah,
back.
I'd say that's an accurate characterization as long as you include both the extremes.
Yes. Yeah. And there were yes, and this was a season of extremes, and I think it's going to be a season an off season of extremes as well with you know the moves that this team may or may not make. I mean, first obviously when we talk about the off season, we talk about Kyrie Irving. Will he stay or will he go? This was a guy who, let's not forget, season ticket holders, he told them in October, I'm here if you'll have me. And then, you
well,
know,
now they don't.
Starts
there's
hedging.
An awful lot of people
starts
who don't
hedging.
Want him if you
yeah, well,
listen
that's,
to
the interesting,
feedback
yeah.
after the,
yeah.
the game the other night. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, I think this leaves a bad taste in your mouth going out this way to the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, does he want to be here or will we see him in L.A. with LeBron again?
Oh, boy. Just imagine
yes.
that. Well, let's move on to a team that's doing a lot better, which is our Boston Bruins. They are at home in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. They'll be playing the former Hartford Whalers, now the Carolina Hurricanes.
Can we have some brass bonanza,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, do you want a little bit? I know, Shira, there's a flashback
dun, dun.
Right there.
Yes.
On the ice,
yes.
How do these two teams stack up against each other?
I mean, it's going to be a tough, hard-fought series. I think once you get to the Eastern Conference Final in the NHL playoffs, it really can be anyone's game, anyone's series. What I do like about the Bruins' chances, first of all, they were the number two seed in the East, and the Hurricanes are the wild card team, sort of the Cinderella story a bit. And what I do like about the Bruins is, one, they seem to have an edge right now. It kind of looks just like you're there.
His name is Rask.
And that was my next thing. My next thing was their goalie, Tuukka Rask, which was, you know, he is playing absolutely unbelievable. Shutout against the Columbus Blue Jackets in the series finale there. So he is the guy who can potentially carry them to the Stanley Cup final.
And, Bill, we know that was the key to winning in 2011, was
a
hot
absolutely.
Goalie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in sports, there are a great many cliches, and some of them are absolutely accurate. And I think Shira will agree with me that perhaps the most
hot
accurate
goalie
of all is the hot goalie, especially when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, hot goalie. And I love this phrase in hockey, puck luck. I mean, you know, I think a hot goalie and some puck luck. And let's not forget in that series finale against the Blue Jackets, how many pucks were, you know, hit against the, you know, Columbus Blue Jacket shots were hit against the crossbar, mm-hmm. you know, of the net. And it was just, you know, you're like, okay,
but I would
some
argue
puck luck
those,
and some rats.
I think those are somewhat related, though, right?
Yes.
Because when you got a really hot goalie, you got a team that's thinking, I really got to pick the corners. And
they're
and
forcing
up,
it a little bit. Yeah.
Well, insofar as when the puck is on your stick and the goal is there, you're thinking. I think mostly what you're doing is relying on the fact that you've taken 12,000 shots over the course of your career, and you're just trying to put it in the net.
Yeah, and one interesting thing to watch for in tonight's game, the Bruins will be without Charlie McAvoy. He is suspended for one game because of the illegal check to the head in the last game against the Blue Jackets. So we're going to see how they adjust there. Just something to watch in addition to Rask.
Yeah, and of course they'll be playing their former defenseman of the future in Dougie Hamilton as well. So that'll be interesting to see in the absence of McAvoy whether the Bruins feel like, oh, we're missing old Dougie. Bill, before we go, I do want to talk a little bit
about
Red
Sox here.
Such a
hockey name, Dougie.
Very good hockey name. On the Red Sox, though, Bill, you know, some of them are at the White House, some of them aren't. There's been a lot of attention on this, mm-hmm. partly because there's a very clear dividing line between who's going and who's not. It's mostly the men of color who are deciding not to go, and a lot of white players are saying that they will go. And manager Alex Cora, who is Puerto Rican, who has said that he is not going, talked about whether he sees a divide in his clubhouse yesterday when he was on WEEI's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Here's what he said.
People are talking about what's going to happen in the clubhouse and is it's going to be divided or whatever. That's not the case. That's not the case. We're in a good place.
So you buy that, Bill? I mean, he's sort of putting a shine on it. And the team is playing really well. They pulled up to .500 yesterday with another win.
Right. They've won 8 of their last 10, and that's certainly better than they had done previously. It took them 8 out of 10 to get to .500, which is a little discouraging.
It's only May.
I certainly buy what Cora is saying, and the team better be able to transcend whatever differences there may be about whether they should have gone to the White House en masse or not, because this is not a divide which is peculiar to the Boston Red Sox. This is a divide that is characteristic of the entire country, and we better be able to find a way to work together collectively throughout the nation, not only in the Red Sox clubhouse. So, hey, I hope they go on and win 8 of their next 10 and then 8 more out of their next 10 and demonstrate that they can work together despite the fact that some of them were quite within their rights to do it, decided not to allow Donald Trump to bask in their glory.
Shira, is the chemistry in a baseball clubhouse kind of overrated anyway, though? Because, I mean, of the four major sports, it's probably the most individual. You're sort of one-on-one with the pitcher. It's not a team flow like basketball. But and I see some skepticism.
Yeah, I was going to say, it may not be as important. For instance, we saw with the Celtics what poor chemistry can do to a team throughout a season. It may not be as important in baseball, but I still think it's pretty crucial. You want to be in a clubhouse where you're pulling for the guy who's in the locker next to you. I think it's a pretty important thing to have team unity and to have everybody on the same page. And I think, you know, managers work very hard to establish that. I'm not exactly buying, by the way, what Cora is saying. I just think the divide is so clear among, you know, the players of color and then the white players that it's hard to believe that there isn't something going on. Maybe it's small, but a little something going on behind the scenes. But give him credit for pulling a very typical thing from, you know, the sports playbook, the sports motivation playbook, which is the us against them, and using this and saying, all you guys, all you media guys are crushing us, you know, because we're a divided team. We're not. We're going to show you. We're going to win. You know, we're going to show you that we're not the team you think we are, that we're really a united team. So it's a, you know, very savvy move from a savvy manager.
All right. So, Bill, in the moments we've got left, the notion of a Boston slam is over. We're not going to get all four because of the Celtics. But how do you like the chances of our teams that are still active right now, the Sox and Bruins we were just talking about?
I'm siding with Shira as far as the Bruins are concerned. I think they do have the combination of the hot goalie, and I hope the luck holds out. But they are playing in the way that makes them think they can win it all.
Yeah,
and
that
that's
edge
a
that
very
I was talking,
important
yeah.
quality.
Before we go, as I mentioned, the Sox are at the White House ceremony going on right now. So here's President Trump just a moment ago talking about pitcher Chris Sale.
In the dugout, your starting pitcher, Chris, decided to give the team a little pep talk. Are you an emotional guy? Pretty much, huh? Because I heard it was a hell of a pep talk. Give us a little pep talk every once in a while.
And Sale finally pitching well again. He struck out, I think, 14 last night.
Yeah,
looked really,
he
really
went
good.
Eight innings, right?
Really,
so,
really good.
Yeah.
That's WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And WBUR and NPR sports commentator and the former host of Only a Game, Bill Littlefield. Bill, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.